Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
In the future, time travel is outlawed, used only in secret by the largest criminal organizations. When they need someone gone and they want to erase any trace of the target ever existing, they use specialized assassins like me, called loopers.
You're a looper?
You know what we do? And the only rule is never let your target escape, even if your target is you. This is not a good thing. My boss will be searching for me until he finds me.
Sweep the streets. Get on it.
I'm gonna fix this! I'm gonna fight it! I'm gonna kill it!
Hunt them down.
And every second that passes is bad.
What's he gonna do?
I'm gonna save your life.
My life! Your life!
I know you're not lying when you say you're gonna kill this guy.
Well, that's the trailer for the new movie, Looper. My expectations are so high. I hope it does not disappoint. I do plan on seeing it, but someone already has. Pastor Jonathan Fisk joins us here for the first few minutes of the second hour of Issues Etc. For a little movie review, we'll talk about Looper. Welcome back to Issues Etc. Live this Thursday afternoon, October the 3rd. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll talk about the worldview of this movie about time travel and time travel assassins right up my alley. Can't wait to see it. Then Pastor Bill Swirla will join us later to talk about Luther's catechisms. You can join us 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Pastor Jonathan Fisk is pastor for Witness and Youth at Bethany Lutheran Church in Naperville, Illinois, host of the video blog Worldview Everlasting, author of the forthcoming book Broken, Seven Christian Rules That Every Christian Ought to Break as Often as Possible. Jonathan, welcome back.
Hey, good to be on.
Did the movie Looper make any sense?
Well, there's been a little bit of debate about that since it came out, and I even had a conversation right after I walked out of the theater with the guy I went to see it with. I thought it did make sense. He thought it didn't. It plays with time travel a little bit, and there is some question as whether it is, I guess, orthodox in the way it conceives of time travel and whether you can break the loop of time travel. And it even, at one point, breaks the fourth wall. That is, it almost comes out of the movie itself to tell you, hey, stop asking these questions about time travel and enjoy the movie. It makes sense if you'll just let it. I thought it did. I thought it really worked out in the end and ends up becoming one of the best, Christian-themed, as in sacrificial, saving the world kind of move plots in the last year or so of movies.
Okay. My expectations are high because I love Bruce Willis. I like the younger actor in this as well. The theme of time travel and assassination. All right. I'm sold from top to bottom. What interested you about this movie, simply as a viewer?
Yeah, all that same stuff, and then you throw in a little bit of dystopia future with just an edge of steampunk, but not too much, and oh man, it has a complete package. What surprised me, what they didn't play up in the trailers at all, and then Bruce Willis actually has talked about this publicly, is that it's not just an action movie. It actually is a movie with deep and complex family-rooted themes, questions about children and life, and when do you do what is right for your family, when do you not? Is it good to, ask the question this way, do evil that good might come of it, that kind of thing. Really deep, and a lot of emphasis on the life of a child and his mother and their relationship, which did not detract from all the good stuff that you're looking forward to. It just kind of took you off guard, like, wait a minute, how did I get into a drama? And yet it worked, which is probably what makes it such a great flick in that regard, is that it doesn't destroy itself for the sake of these things. It actually adds to the overall effect.
Why? Two questions here. Why do you call it a Christian-themed movie? You hinted at it, talking about self-sacrifice, but why would you classify that as a Christian theme?
Yeah, this is something I wish I could get to talk directly about more often, though sadly the summer blockbusters don't always do this as well as they could. But C.S. Lewis has this theory, and I agree with him, that every story, every movie and story and plot is only as good as it is able to borrow from the one true plot of history, which is the salvation that we have in Christ. And so the best stories that we ever tell will involve a sacrificial hero, a savior who must save by dying to self, as it were. This movie manages to pick up on that willingness of Christ to die that good might come in ways that a lot of movies haven't up to this point. I don't want to give too much of that away either, but man, it was almost unexpected. You weren't ready for it. I was thinking even during the film, this is so good, it's too bad there's no way for them to really make this into a Christ figure kind of story. And then they did. And oh, man, I walked out of there just tingling because of it.
Okay, the other question is, can you explain the plot of a movie that by its, even the title admits, involves something as complicated and difficult for us linear thinkers, all of us are in terms of time, to conceive of as time travel, going back to meet one's self?
Well, I guess I'm not understanding the question.
How would you explain the plot of this? What's going to be a very complicated movie to outline as a timeline?
Sure. They try to do it right off the bat. Basically, in the future, time travel gets invented, but they realize it's way too dangerous, so it gets made illegal. And yet, of course, when you make something illegal, like, say, firearms, the people who are going to use it are going to be those who get it illegally. And so the thieves in the future are using time travel to dispose of their enemies by sending them back in time to a place where, because of global tracking, it's easier to dispose of bodies, to have these guys called loopers, who are hired from one future guy who came back to assassinate these guys they got to get rid of. And the question is when do you close your loop? In the future, let's say you live these 30 years as a looper and you get to a point where you do something to make angry the mob boss, where time travel does exist, they send you back to be killed by yourself in the past to get you out of the way, but you also get a golden ticket out of it, and so you get more money that way, basically. So on the one hand, you know you're going to die someday, 30 years down the road. On the other hand, you made a lot of money. That's kind of the setup, and then suddenly all these loopers, all these people that are working as assassins in the past, find that they're all being killed within about a week and a half, and they don't know what's going on. And then the main character manages to not kill himself, not on purpose, but on accident, and that leads to quite an escalation of plot at that point.
Now, how would you describe the worldview here? You've already kind of laid the foundation in talking about the central character and the theme of self-sacrifice. How would you describe its worldview?
The worldview focuses more at least intentionally on the dystopia, the hopelessness of the future world, that there is really not a lot to live for. Everybody's going to suffer no matter what. It's the opposite of the modern promise of progress. It's the modernistic regress. And yet there is this growth that happens within the character himself twice, once as Bruce Willis and then once as the other character, both times towards understanding that love for another person is really what life is about in the midst of the current suffering. And yet Bruce Willis's character manages to take that love and do evil with it, whereas the main character, Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character, is going to do good with it. And that gets to that whole self-sacrifice stuff. So as you got this modern dystopia, the world can't be saved, and yet you have this power of human selflessness idea that kind of has the growth of the main character taking place with.
Do you have any pastoral concerns in terms of kind of the typical categories, sex, violence, language, things like that?
Yeah, there's a little bit of nudity, not a lot. It goes by pretty fast, and you kind of ignore it. The violence, I would say, you know, I wouldn't take a young teenager to this myself. It's not heavy violence, but what's there is pretty graphic, I guess you would say. It's the same concerns that you always have when you're dealing with issues of Christian piety are you able to kind of either A, look away, B, just say, well, whatever, let it pass and ignore it and focus on the plot, or is it going to disturb you? And this is doubly so when you're dealing with young children who are so impressionable and maybe can't think critically about, say, a topless woman on the screen for 3 seconds and ignore it or repent of it even in that moment, right, as when you're dealing with these things yourself.
Why are we so fascinated with the themes that seem to come forward? First of all, that dystopian view, that not just cynical but downright pessimistic view of human future. Why are we fascinated by that?
Culturally, American culture is in reaction against this what I said earlier, the modern promises of progress that didn't come to pass, that science and study was going to give us a perfect world. The arts are and have been for a while, since World War I, in a reaction against that. And I think, so to some extent, the whole culture is just saying, well, this is more realistic. Personally, I love it because it's like it's real. It's a sinful world. Instead of this pretend 2001 A Space Odyssey where everything is clean and pristine and we've managed to just remove God and it all worked out so well, here we have the human original sin doing what it really does. And so it gives us a real taste, I think, of what we experience every day but manage to cover up with makeup and glamour and fast food, right? And not that I want to condemn any of those things, but we manage to hide from our sins so very well, especially as prosperous Americans. And movies like this at least remind me a little bit more about what the real world is, even if it's romanticized in the sense that this is.
With only about 30 seconds here, why are we fascinated with the theme of the reboot, the do-over that time travel would imply about 30 seconds?
Probably because we all know that we've made mistakes in life and we'd like to see things be done better. This movie isn't really going to give you so much. Well, I guess it does give you the reboot, but not in the standard way. It's not like he's like, oops, I made a mistake, I'm going to stop it. You have a guy who really wants to stop evil from happening, and then another guy who also wants to stop evil from happening but realizes that the first guy isn't going to make it happen with what he does. The fascination here is, well, why are we fascinated with wanting to fix things? Why are we fascinated with wanting to justify our world? Well, that gets back to that question of sin. All religions teach justification by works. You got to do it. Movies that teach that are going to be they're going to sell as well. But when you get a movie like this that teaches that the ultimate justification comes about by dying, well, it just it brings it all home.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk is pastor of Witness and Youth at Bethany Lutheran Church in Naperville, Illinois, host of the video blog Worldview Everlasting, author of the forthcoming book Broken, 7 Christian Rules That Every Christian Ought to Break As Often As Possible. You can find out more about Broken at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Jonathan, thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
When we come back, we're going to turn to Luther's catechisms. You know, there are books that you read and then you put away and you never return to them. Once they're read, they're read. There are books like reference works that you read and then you return to them occasionally when you need to revisit the subject in more detail, like a dictionary, encyclopedia, your concordance, things like that. Then there are books that are for every day and for your entire life. And the Catechism is one of those. We'll talk about what a catechism is and why it is one of those books with Pastor Bill Swirla right after this. Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, is a quarterly publication for the Confessional Lutheran, and they have a special 20th anniversary CD. This CD contains every issue of Logia for the last 20 years. It's a PDF file with search capabilities and bookmarks. This special anniversary CD is an excellent addition to your theological library. You can pre-order it for just $40. That's 50 cents per issue. Find out more at logia.org, logia.org.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues, etc.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues, etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues, etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
This is Pastor Jeff Siegel of St. Mary Evangelical Lutheran Church in Des Moines, Iowa, where God gathers us around His means of grace to offer us forgiveness, life, and salvation. Whether you are looking for a church or just visiting Des Moines, if you like Issues Etc., St. Mary's is the church for you. Join us as we gather together every Sunday to continue the Reformation tradition of Christ-centered, cross-focused worship, preaching, and teaching. For more information, go to www.stmarylutheran.org. Remember to spell out Saint